Blog Talk Radio.
This is Guasabara Taino Radio, Radio Taino Guasabara. Guasabara means warrior in Taino, and I'd like to thank all of you who are either live in Cyber World Village. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. And for all those who are downloading the show in the future, much thanks. Check it out. I'm happy to say that once again, United States of America, Turtle Island is tuning in. Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. That's right. They're tuning in every week, every show. And check this out. Russia, believe it or not, is tuning in. We got the United Kingdom. We got Morocco. We got Nigeria, Colombia. I love it. And the great country of Canada. We're all tuning in, listening to exciting radio called Guasabara. Pretty cool, pretty cool. Today we got a follow-up show talking about UFOs. That's right, unidentified flying object. But today I got some help. Last time we had some special guests on and we really lost time. But guess what? Today we're an hour. This is a 1 hour download. That's right. My name is Sala Cody, a.k.a. Taino Sagrado. And guess what? I have Spooky Lou, the paranormal expert, with me today. Back by popular demand. Spooky Lou, are you there?
I'm here, bro. How's everything?
Ah, not bad. I'm glad you're in. I'm glad no one scooped you up and took you to outer space somewhere.
Actually, I was abducted earlier, but I made it back on time.
Yeah, man, I was really worried. I know you're doing some research in Area 51, but, they're kind of crazy out there, so be careful, okay?
I know. And now you're letting the government know. They might really start to come after me and try to probe me.
You know, I'm pretty traumatized from last year losing Star Lou. He's still arrested somewhere. He's missing in action.
One day he'll be found again. I'm confident one day he will be found again.
I'm trying to find him, man, but it's insane, man.
That's what happens when you're going too deep,
I think his Wi-Fi is messed up. I don't know. Not answering my calls.
Poor guy. One day.
I just can't. All right, so check it out, Lou. We got someone special with us from the Outer Rim. We have with us also popular demand, Stephanie Sky. Stephanie, you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Not bad, man. Thanks for coming in. I thought they took you away, man. So that's great. We got the whole team. Yo, I'm just excited. I'm in a giggly mood this night because this is it, man. We're here. We didn't get abducted, So we're ready to tell the truth. What do you think?
As long as the FBI doesn't come knocking on my door, we're good.
right. You don't want what happened to what was it, Blue Star? Star Lou?
Star Lou.
Yo,
Lou. Star Lou.
Let me tell you something. We just totally that poor guy, he's just gone, man. I bet he's in Area 51. What do you think? That's, he was in Las Vegas last time I know. Last time he called in the show.
Man, that guy, I wouldn't be surprised, man. I wouldn't be surprised.
This is too much, man. Too much, man. So I got some emails about our last show, and it was kind of weird. Some people were saying, hey, what does UFOs have to do with Tainos? I was like, so I wrote back, a lot of it has to do with Tainos, you know, because we're Taino talking about UFOs, right? You know, so.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, having a show correlating with our ancestors could be many topics, you know, spirituality, paranormal, political. You know, people have to have an open mind that this can be, we can discuss many different levels, you know, how it pertains to our ancestors. And it's also entertaining, you know. What's wrong with talking about the paranormal?
I know. That's the thing. It's all good. And I'm still convinced. I don't know about you, Stephanie Sky, but I'm still convinced that when Demi-Nod, okay, and his brothers procreated with the turtle woman, turtle mother, humanity came from them. I don't know, man. That sounds like a lot like the star people involved in it. I'm probably talking Taino sacrilege, man. If I think I'm nuts, but it definitely doesn't sound human, though, right? When you have,
I don't sound human.
And here's the, huh?
I don't sound human. I sound reptilian.
Well, here's the thing. These are celestial beings in creation stories. They're celestial. They're all from the stars, you know, coming down to Earth, you know, above that. You know, Taino, our ancestors, they had that imagery of, you know, the like the tree, you know, up on the canopy above with the stars, the universe, you know, the Pleiades and stuff. And then you have the middle, which was the Earth, the cemetery, the village, life. And under that was the celestial water, the subterranean waters of Atabe, where you do ceremonies into the caves, way up on the canopy. It's the stars, and this is where our ancestors came from, you know, the spirit of spirits and all that. That's space right there. What do you think? Space? Star people? Star creatures? Star beings? I don't know. What do you think? I know you guys are speechless right now.
Yeah, it is speechless. This is too deep, you know. I've heard stories, you know, from other people that, you know, we do come from space. You know, we're not really from here. Other legends, other, I won't say what culture or what tribe I've heard that from, but I have, you know, that they specifically know what area our ancestors came from. Is what I've learned, you know. But I have a question for you, because I know you're very well versed. Go ahead.
Actually, can you hold on a second? I got an email earlier this evening, and they asked about the phone number, that we should publish the phone number if people want to call in. Since we're doing an hour show, let's save the last, you know, let's try to save the last 15 minutes for any calls, okay? So let me read the number out. 515-602-9792. That's 515-602-9792. You can also access that number on the website, Block Talk Radio /Wasabara1491. The number is on there. There's a link. You can hear live, or you can download future shows. Any future people that want to call in, well, we don't pick up. That's all right, man. You can call again. Yeah, Lou, what you were saying? Spooky Lou.
So I know you're well versed in history, and you know part of this has to do with, you know, the island of Puerto Rico and its mysteries. So I came across an article, and I don't know if you ever came across this before, right, when you read about Christopher Columbus. Of course, we know that he said he saw some lights, right, when he was on his in his way in his
yes.
journey. But I came,
yes. yes.
But this is interesting. I came across an article. I've never heard this before, where supposedly when he was on the island, he could see lights in what we call in Junque today, right? And he reports seeing strange lights over in Junque as well. Have you, can you share some light on that? Have you heard these stories before? Have you come across this information?
You know, when I was in Puerto Rico, all I kept hearing was about the Junque. Like, if you want to see star people, they were living in the Junque. I heard those stories. I also heard that if you go way up high, you can see the spaceships flying above the lights, you know? I keep hearing that all the time from people, you know? So I bet, man, I bet he saw something and he documented it, which was great if he did that, you know? I believe it because I hear the same story, you know?
And I heard one of the reasons why he knew about it or he came across those lights is because they were, what I was reading was that the Taínos, they had a different name. They used to call it Junque Yucayeque, right? And the Spaniards confused it for Junque, and that's how it got its name. So they believed, according to what I was reading, was that the Taínos believed that there were people that they were being visited by people in Junque. Fast forward, so I thought that was pretty interesting. You know how people. So for what, thousands of years, people have been reporting seeing lights in it, over at Junque. And they were even saying today that recently, they closed down in Junque, and they were saying that it's because of the hurricane. But people were saying that's not true because the military was still there. They were using the roads, and people at night were saying that they kept seeing lights, and they believed there was a UFO crash over there.
Well, check this out. I found some research, okay? I was doing some research, and later on, I'll expand it more, but I like to start the show with this. This happened in 1952. Can you guys hear me clearly?
Yeah.
All right. This happened in 1952, called Remedio Santa Clara, Cuba, okay? This was September 14th, 1952. It was around the afternoon. It was a rural, and the entity that was spotted, right, was a winged humanoid. And this was a description by the farmer that saw what we call a guajiro, or we say jíbaro, having yellowish skin, a round face, very tall in stature, around 7 feet. The humanoid had a silvery disc-shaped plate, which appeared to be attached to the stomach area. And the most bizarre fact of the encounter was that the huge pair of wings, which the humanoid had attached to its shoulders, that hung down to the waist area. Using these same wings, the strange creature rose back up in the sky and disappeared from sight. And this was documented back in 1952. The source is Orestes Gilbao Collado from Cuba, and it was at a local farm called Dolores, and a farm worker, Caridad Martinez, reported seeing a strange winged humanoid descend from the sky, land on a plot of land near which she was working. And the strange winged figure approached Martinez and communicated with her in a strange language, which she could not understand. And according to her, the only word that she was able to make out was tierra, earth. And the strange humanoid was carrying on both hands a luminous object, which apparently emitted a strange gaseous substance that made Martinez very dizzy and almost semi-conscious. She further described the stranger as having yellowish skin, a round face, 7 feet tall, a humanoid. As I described before with the disc-shaped plate in the stomach, And she said the most bizarre thing was that it had a huge pair of wings, okay? And it was attached to the soldiers and hung down to the waist area. And using these same wings, the strange creature rose back into the sky and disappeared from... What do you guys think about that?
It's definitely interesting.
Yeah, it kind of goes... Go ahead, creepy stuff. Go ahead, creepy stuff.
Wait, so which one? Say that again.
It's very interesting. It kind of goes along with the information with what Lou had talked about El Yunque, because they do say that they've spotted some grays there. But at the same time,
mm-hmm.
it kind of falls in line with what they've been saying about the gargoyles in Puerto Rico as well, because now they're claiming,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they've, since Hurricane Maria, that they've been seeing a lot more UFOs, a lot more of the gargoyle sightings and Chupacabra. But
yeah, could you please expand on that, guys? If you did some research on that, can you please expand on that? Because that's very interesting.
I just want to say very quickly for listeners that don't know, El Yunque is a rainforest in Puerto Rico. It's like 28,000 acres, and it's the only rainforest, I think, in the U.S. Just throwing that out there in case people didn't know. But go ahead, Creepy Steph.
Yeah.
Say some more light. Me and Creepy were going over some topics, and we were trying to figure out and correlate how people have been seeing gargoyles, people have been seeing chupacabras, and people somehow the grays, and then somehow the UFOs come into play. Or maybe it's too much. I don't know. But Creepy, did you get more information?
So I ended up finding an article from 2018 where there's, in the article itself, they were talking about something they saw that was winged with, you know, 5 to 6 foot tall, muscular, red eye creature that they was calling the gargoyle, la gargola. So, you know, they originally, you know, we all grew up listening to the stories about Puerto Rico and the chupacabras that were there and, you know, how they would eat the animals and, you know, if you weren't careful, they would eat you. You know, at least that's what my grandmother told me. They would eat me if I didn't start acting right. but now they're talking about gargoyles, saying that the gargoyles are eating the chickens and the cows and the sheep. You know, they're dying at night mysteriously. They're being found lifeless, drained of blood in the morning. And they considering the idea of it being a gargoyle now and not a chupacabra because it's flying. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And like I said, they're saying that all of these are starting to appear or started to appear more frequently after the hurricane. So I guess the implication of the hurricane shaking up the island had, brought out some of our more interesting pieces in the island. It's not just the little coquis anymore. Now they're talking about the big kids. They're talking about the chupacabras again and the gargoyles. So I think it's
Wait a minute.
It's very
this is crazy because I didn't know that. And look, in 1952, I'm talking about in Cuba, this winged creature, you know? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I know. That's amazing.
And like
so
I said, they're saying that they're tall. They're 5 to 6 feet. So they're human height, human statures, you know, muscular. The only real thing that's not human-like is the wings itself. So it's definitely interesting to hear how so many different sources are explaining something, you know, since we don't know exactly what it is, but they all share similar characteristics.
And I think, Lou, that's amazing that you found, I mean, historic like a article dating back to the 1950s in Cuba, another island. Imagine how many other islands or sightings have gone reported that we haven't heard of. That's pretty,
mm-hmm.
it just boggles my mind. That's pretty amazing that you were able to find something like that dated that far back, and people are still seeing things like this now in our islands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, word, man. I mean, the islands. But I was doing some research. 1977, right? A little town called La Caleta, La Caleta near Boca Chica, Dominican Republic. This was around June 24, 1977, around 1 a.m. at night or early morning. There were two beings in the windows who seemed to be looking at this person, this eyewitness. Two beings, okay? Hold on a second. I'm just looking at the manuscript here. It says, while returning Santo Domingo at one in the morning, Señor A.S. Cruz saw a light over the sea, which descended to the water level, and a tube came out of the bottom and took up water. The witness stopped to watch the unusual spectacle, and the UFO stopped its action and headed down towards him. As he approached, the witness saw two beings in the windows who seemed to be looking at him. And Señor Cruz tried to drive away, but his car could not start. Then he noticed the presence of another identified UFO. And behind the two objects was a pair of thick black tubes or cylinders that were joined together. Suddenly, in the complete silence, the UFOs were sucked up by the tubes, which apparently started moving and then disappeared before the witness's eye. Oh, okay. So what do you guys think about that, man? That's just crazy. Boca Chica. He actually saw beams from the ship. What was your first, what do you think?
I don't know. That's pretty crazy. So nobody got abducted. They just saw beams hanging out, and then they just left?
Well, they got sucked up by these tubes. It was these tubes. I guess it was another ship that kind of sucked these ships in. But they saw the beams, you know, from the windows.
Interesting.
Windows.
I wonder if those beings were like robots, and they sucked into the tube, and they sent them down there to search for something, or maybe look for, I mean, probe around. I don't know, man. That just sounds crazy. What year was this? 1970s?
1977. Now,
wow.
Check this out. In 2005, August 29th, during the summer, this was during the day. It wasn't at night. It was a rural also. And this lasted 40 seconds. And they describe as a flying humanoid. Once again, the humanoid was a black object. It says around 12:50 p.m., I was able to witness a completely black UFO at an altitude between 1,000 and 3,000 meters. I saw this because the object flew between on the low cloud, a rain cloud, and the medium altitude cloud, a white cloud. We know that rain clouds are usually at the altitude between 1,500 to 2,500 meters, with the lowest ones at 1,000 meters and the highest ones at 2,500, 3,000 meters. The object was traveling from west to east, and its shape was hard to describe. I was unable to define its shape, but I believe it was something that appeared to be vertical, something like the alleged flying humanoids seen in Mexico over recent months. Oh, damn, so this is Mexico, too. I cannot relate it to any other objects, such as balloons, birds, airplanes. On account that's very strange shape. Unfortunately, I did not take any photograph. At the sighting, lasted only 40 seconds. The object was flying in an even single row movement, except for a movement in which the maneuver simulated a soft curve, which I estimate around 5 to 10 degrees. I hope other people in my country saw the object and may therefore dispel any questions about the event. I will keep you informed about the event. This is a local Dominican at the time, 2005. Flying humanoids, weird shape. What do you guys think about that one?
Have you ever seen the video? Have you ever seen a video of those flying humanoids in Mexico?
No, I never that. When I saw Mexico, the first time I read this, I didn't see Mexico. What happened?
Have you, Creepy Steph, have you seen the flying humanoids in Mexico or no?
I actually just pulled one up on my laptop, and this is interesting. The shot that I'm looking at is dated June 17th of 2005, and I don't know, he looks kind of, it definitely looks like the shape of a shadow, a human shadow, but he's really just in the air, like jetpack maybe? I don't know. I can't tell.
There was a phenomenon for a while, I think in the early 2000s and in the 90s, where different places in Mexico, people were filming flying humanoids. Some of them looked like witches. Some of them looked like a someone with a back with a like a backpack, like a jet.
That's what the photo I'm looking at looked like a jetpack.
What I'll do is I'll find the video and I'll post it on my Spooky Lou page. And anyone else follows Spooky Lou?
Shameless plug.
I'll post it there. But yeah, there's even a story, Lou, that you were saying. There was an eyewitness of a cop, and someone called the police, and the Mexican police. He went over there, and when he saw it, he went into shock, and he said that thing attacked him. It crashed into the police car. Did you hear about this? And then
I have it up right now. It's a 15-minute clip.
Oh, you found the story?
Yeah. It's a 15-minute clip. The police confirmed the UFO sighting. And it's actually posted by National Geographic, so that's interesting.
Can you post that on Radio?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll post it there for you too, man. I'll post it on my page and your page.
Check it out. Guys, you want to hear a cool story?
Sure.
1980, I told you, I'm going to do some research in the Caribbean. 1981. Kingston, Jamaica, humanoid sighting. This happened around 6 p.m., June, July of 81. It was at night. Hold on a second. Yeah, 6 p.m. Rural. One object was spotted, human-like, 16 witnesses. I was 11 years old, and a group of us children went to play baseball in the parking lot of Yummy Bakery on Hagley Park Road next to the gas station. It was 6:30 p.m. and the bakery was closed for the day. The sun was still visible in the evening sky. I was on third base and waiting for the ball to be hit so I can make the home run. Out of boredom, I started looking around and turned my attention to the mango tree that sat behind the wall. No, this was behind the gas station. The eyes were met by that of a human-like form, stunned by the eye contact, but I kept my composure for the entire length of the stare. Now, it was given me. I saw the neck and shoulders up to the head, the rest of the body not seen because it was behind the wall. The skin was white as printing paper. Eyes were glossy and blackish black. Nose very thin and mouth was a mere slit. Oh, that's a gray right there. Chin very small and narrow. Head shaped like a balloon, almost triangular. Huge head. Neck so skinny it almost a phenomenon how it held such a big head. After about what seemed to be 2 minutes, I called out to my brother, who was pitching the ball, and while I kept my eyes on the humanoid, it did not bulge and kept its eyes fixed on me. My brother couldn't hear me over the loud noise of the other players, so I left my place at first base, running towards my brother, keeping my eyes on the humanoid. When I got my brother's attention, screaming for him to look, 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 the crowd also stopped and looked at the direction of the pointing finger. That's when the humanoid ducked behind the wall. Damn. Dead silence was among all of us for about 5 to 8 seconds. Then we all screamed and hollered and ran back home. Never to return to that parking lot. Never told our parents and never spoke of it again. This was a real live event. I was not in bed or sleeping in any way, and all 16 people were wide awake. What do you guys think about that? Another humanoid. That sounds like a gray right there.
Yeah, that one definitely sounds
like
from the other one.
It does. I agree. It does sound like what could be considered a gray. Like what you said you saw in the caves, in the Taino caves, right? You said you saw faces of what you consider a gray.
Yeah, big heads, big eyes, slit eyes. And actually, it's crazy. The eyes of the grays, you know, the grays, the gray the eyes, are very similar to Semi eyes. In the carving, you know, they're like semi-oblique. Well, you know, it's like crazy.
How old do you think those, what do you call them, those petroglyphs or pictographs?
Yeah, the petroglyphs.
How old do you think they are?
I think they date back at least 4,000 years, I mean, there's one petroglyph I know in the... There's one petroglyph that it's in, what is it, Arecibo? This thing looks almost futuristic, the design, you know? It almost looks like one of those same designs you see in New Mexico, like an astronaut kind of thing. Right?
Yeah, down in Mexico. Mexico has a lot of those as well. The Aztecs and the Mayans had a lot of glyphs that looked almost out of this world.
Wow.
So now,
that's the thing.
Here's my question for you guys. Friend or foe, what do you think they're here for? Why do you think that they're consciously making contact, but barely, you know, like direct contact? It's just sightings and being seen and then gone. Friend or foe?
If you want my honest opinion, I think I've done some extensive research on it. I hear supposedly the Greys are not their foes. I hear that they're really not friendly. They probe. There's so many different theories as to why they do that, you know, and all
I
kinds of experimentation.
I said I love that you said that, but go ahead. I'll chime in after you're done.
Oh, so they say, you know, they do all kinds of experimentation and no one knows why. I've heard different theories as to why they do this, but, you know, apparently there may be different kinds of species that exist of aliens. Some are friends, some are foe, but from what I hear, the majority of people believe they're foe.
That's what I've heard as well in regards to the grays. I heard that originally the extraterrestrials that did come here, that were here, that did inhabit what we consider to be Earth, were the Lemurians, and that the Greys came, and when the Greys came, they took resources and were, you know, selfish, just for all intents and purposes, selfish, and they didn't give as much care as the Lemurians did, essentially depleting them to a level of nothingness. And that's what caused us having to restart everything all over again. Allegedly, it was that the Lemurians were the inhabitants of what used to be, what was considered Atlantis. And they had this entire futuristic situation, you know, whatever the legends are about Atlantis itself. And it was all extraterrestrial. That's the reason why it was so advanced. And when the Greys came, they were the ones that ended up depleting the resources and basically turning it to crap. And forcing us to restart all over again, point where we're at now, where we started over from, you know, cavemen to, I guess, modern day cavemen for some now. But, you know, where we are at this in particular point, I've always heard that the Greys were never those friendly, you know, people or aliens, extraterrestrials that wanted to make contact to be friends or to learn or to share advice or information. I always heard that they were the off-putting type.
Oh,
you know, it makes it even more crazy, Lou, the fact that she mentioned Atlantis and where do people say Atlantis can be found? Right by Puerto Rico and Bermuda and Florida.
Yep,
the same area.
Right there in that triangle.
Uh-huh. Devil's Triangle.
So which one?
Devil's Triangle. They say that Atlantis is where Bermuda, part of Puerto Rico, and part of Florida. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's caves, petroglyphs of graves on those caves that are 4,000 years old, apparently. And that's where Atlantis, people say Atlantis can be found as well.
The graves, you said? The graves?
Yeah, the graves. They're going to come after you.
For what? Oh. But check it out.
You
I
know,
found this report.
Oh, Luke, not to cut you off.
Yeah.
Another thing, I just want to say real quick with this theory as well. A lot of people believe that the graves are really demons. That they're not aliens. They're what really can, they're just demonic. What do you think about that theory?
Well, you know, I don't kind of the whole demon thing started with the Hebrew tribes, you know. I mentioned about demons and stuff like that. So and then I became Christianized, you know. I know indigenous traditions, you know, we talk about positive, negative energies and we didn't talk about demons or anything like that, you know. But I can see Christians saying that, you know.
Got it.
You know what I mean? But whenever I hear natives talking about it, they're always talking about star people. These are our ancestors, you know. And the first time I learned about this, I remember I have a friend who's not Filipino, from Vietnam. And she was taught as a little girl that the star people are, you know, the ones from the star are our ancestors. That their ancestors, the first ones, the origins were from space, you know. And as a little girl, she actually saw described like a gray, you know. She visited her. She's a very spiritual woman now, you know. But she honors the space, the star people, they call it. Yeah. I guess you could call her like an indigo child now, you know. But
so
when we hear these stories, mm-hmm. huh?
Are you open to the idea that maybe there are different kinds of extraterrestrials? Aside from the graves, maybe there are others that may look similar or respond, react similarly, that may make contact, that maybe we are, in fact, genetically related to, and that there is maybe, you know, the good ones and then the bad ones, since there's usually always duality in everything. Nature itself is always based off of duality. Wouldn't there be some that are good and some that don't have good intentions?
Like destructive, yeah. Negative.
Right. Because the Hopi and the Lakota, they all have stories of the star people as well. And, you know, it's something that a lot of them really do honor. So, you know, the belief that we are in fact, some way, shape, or form related is definitely possible, but at what capacity? Maybe there's another kind or another one, and maybe that's the reason for the variances in some of these sightings that people are seeing. Some of them have wings, some of them don't have wings, some of them are shaped this way, some of them are shaped you know, a different way. So, is it that you believe in as well, or?
Absolutely.
I mean,
Go ahead, Luke.
No, I think you have to be open to it. I mean, I'm open to it, you know. I just need the evidence, you know. What do you think?
Yeah, of course. I think absolutely there's all kinds of different, I mean, come on. We're discovering all kinds of different planets. Some are closer to the sun, some aren't. I mean, genetically, there's just going to have to be different kinds of life form that exist out there. I mean, of course, theoretically, because it's just a theory. We really don't know. But I'm pretty sure that the same way there's graves, there's all kinds of different, you know, species of humanoids or maybe non-humanoids, you know, that can exist. And I'm sure, I mean, there's been so many countless stories, right? There's stories that there's a war going on of good aliens and bad aliens, you know, protecting us, some abusing us. It's just, there's a lot of theories going out there, you know. But yeah, I definitely agree with you, creepy stuff. Yeah, it could very well be. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I personally think there are good. If there are aliens, there are good aliens, and then possibly there's some evil ones as well. That, matter of fact, wasn't the Catholic Church recently looking into that, or they were saying something like that, so they believe angels and demons might be. I've heard that recently.
It was
really interesting. I gotta look into that.
Well, tell you one thing. I have one more sighting from the Caribbean. Summer of 1979, Bayamón, Puerto Rico, Bayamón. Okay. It was a mother and a daughter. They witnessed a 6 feet tall, very white, very slim. He had a large head, somewhat rounded, dark eyes, not very big, and a gentle, tender, mean look. That's weird. Tender, mean. His mouth was very small, with a small smile, and his nose was normal, but very small. He had long arms, hands with long fingers. His entire skin was pale gray, whitish shade. What do you think about it? There you go. Metallic silvery gray. It's a long report. It was a young girl, a young woman with her mom. They were traveling to Arecibo from Bayamón. And the car seemed to be in a light. They were driving. The daughter could not feel that they were on the road anymore. They both became confused, as in a trance. There was a strange bluish white light entered the car, and hold on a second. 2.5 hours had elapsed, and they had no memory of what had occurred during that period when they were consumed by that blue light. So years later, under hypnosis, the daughter Miriam remembered. Hold on a second. It was a very strange, very tall figure standing in the doorway. He was a humanoid being, 6 feet tall. Same description as I gave before. His voice sounded masculine. "And she should not be afraid," he said. She was then reassured that her mother was all right. Yeah, it spoke like masculine. Hold on a second. Oh. She continued to tell her telepathically in a voice that sounded masculine. And what happened was, this was under hypnosis. Similar to the tall one, there was also one that was very small, about 3.5 feet. And together with the other one, hold on a second. They went through a round chamber, and one of the walls in which there was a car protuberance, which appears to be sort of a seat that comes out of a form all by itself. Everything in the chamber appeared to be molded in one piece. Hold on a second. It was like a chamber she was in. And many strange instruments and something resembling a compass. In the room there was more of the little beings. And they communicated with her mentally, telling her that they were going to help her. A small being and the little ones examined her physically, and at a given moment they introduced a sort of very fine, long metallic rods into the various parts of the body, and they explained that they were going to give her an energy reinforcement so as to improve the condition of her organism. They apparently took samples of her body with these rods. Then the small beings brought strange instruments
assembling clamps and fitted them into her legs. Instantly, she felt a powerful heat of energy rising through her body. And several of the little grays were manipulating machines like computers. Shit. It was pretty intense, huh? The tall gray entity told her that she had bone cancer, but that they were going to cure her. She was told that they were curing her mother, too. So they put some stuff on her forehead. It looked like a compass. Hold on a second. That's a lot of info. I'm just going to skip, okay? She felt a powerful sensation of love and goodness emanating from him, one of the creatures. He also said that they were other beings resembling themselves. Okay. Oh, so she saw a tall. She saw a tall one. Colored tunic of some shiny material. He was dressed up. There was a tall blonde being. Told her telepathically that they were at a very high spot in the Swiss Alps. The hell? Hold on. The craft was not entirely circular. I'm just going, skipping through a lot of stuff. One of them had a blonde hair, slippery, silvery blonde, and looked very much like the other man, like humanoid, among like twins. Almost like twins. They were very tall, and they were very fine features. At one point, she's introduced to a normal-looking oriental humanoid wearing black cloak outfit. Eventually, they were all deposited back into the vehicle. What do you think, guys? That's pretty intense. I got to send you the link to all this.
I feel like if I had ever had to have an experience with a gray, that would probably be my luck.
But that's a good, experience.
And she said they felt like love, like radiant, like something that came out of them that was good, right?
Yeah, I've heard those stories. I've heard people had positive experiences like that, and then I heard the total opposite. People had terrifying experiences. Here's the question,
though. And to me, that sounded a little bit like Stockholm Syndrome, because I have a thing where I'm a little afraid of the aliens, so I'm a little skeptical about having a good experience with them. Like I already said, I bet you if I go visit Lou and we go look for aliens, they're going to come find us for real.
Well, how do you know they haven't found you yet? You're the one that saw the blue one, remember?
All right, well, they haven't made contact with me. They just said, hey, girl, I see you. We can keep it at that kind of a relationship with me and the aliens. I don't think I'm built. I don't think I'm built for much more excitement with the aliens like that. Mm-mm.
Well, I think that's crazy. It seems like, you know, the islands is a hot spot for these sightings, huh? What do you think? Like, they're actually appearing to people and doing stuff.
Yeah, there is an uptick on the whole UFO side. And not just in the islands, man. It's been everywhere. Even in the U.S., it's just everywhere. It's just people are having more sightings these days.
Yeah.
Well, but here's another thing.
Uh-huh.
We haven't brought up the story about the USOs. I mean, how many underground bases probably exist in those islands? I was looking up another story about this police officer.
True.
Yeah, he witnessed in this lake called Cartagena in Puerto Rico, a UFO come out of the water, fly around, and he went back in. As a matter of fact, there's footage. This other guy found footage. I mean, he filmed it. I mean, it's not really good. So it's far away. I'll post it on the Spooky Loop page. You can check it out when you get a chance on Facebook. But, and you can see something. So a huge thing that people are speaking about that they're seeing out in Puerto Rico are USOs, unidentified what? What it stands for? Something underwater. But people are seeing a lot of that as well.
No, like I mentioned last week, remember that last show about in that town in Puerto Rico that a whole village, a whole town knew about them? Coming from the water, you know? So there you go. Wow.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of activity.
How about that sighting from, remember, the national, what they call it? The NSA, a camera spotted one in Aguadilla. Remember that ship? It was going really, really fast. And then when it hit the ocean, it split in half, and it went in the water. In Aguadilla,
yeah,
remember that?
Homeland Security. That footage was shown by Homeland Security, so it was the government. It wasn't someone's iPhone, middle of the night. It was high tech footage. They were trying to look. They were trying to search for illegal immigrants, trying to drug smugglers. That's what it was. They're looking for drug smugglers, mm-hmm. trying to cross drugs over, and that's how they came about that UFO that was flying. And you're right, it split, and then it went into the water like it was nothing, and then it flew on, and then it went underwater. Another crazy story. And that came straight from the government, which gives it its authenticity. I can't speak, but you know what I mean. Authenticity.
Right. Yeah, this is a lot of stuff, man. Hey, do you guys ever see that Twilight Zone episode back from the 1960s and stuff?
I'm not that old.
I was going to say the same thing.
Wait, you guys never saw that episode? You never saw that episode?
Nope.
Oh, man. It was, you know, Rod Sterling was a science fiction writer. He's the one that wrote The Planet of the Apes. And so it was a segment, right, that this humanoid came to the Earth, and he wanted to meet with the United Nations, and this humanoid told through telepathy that he was going to save humanity, okay, from war and destruction and blah, 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 right? And this is during the Vietnam War, actually, when it first broke out, when the show was made. So what happened was this humanoid was like 6-7 feet tall, had a big head, like a gray, I guess, you know? And then what happened was and then he had a book. And it was in his language, and he left it with the UN. So all the linguists from the world, they got together and they tried to translate the book, you know? Because the humanoid said, this book contains all the knowledge of my people and how we're going to save you all. So eventually, the humanoid was like, well, we can't save this earth. It's just going to be destroyed with pollution and this and that. It's contaminated. You need to come to our world. So they had all these spaceships, man, and people were going in these spaceships, right? And then at the end of the show, are you guys there? One of the chiefs. So one of the chief linguists broke the code. It broke the code. So as the people are going in the ship, I guess it was the president of the United States was going in there. And he's like, don't go in. Don't go in the ship. It's a cookbook. It's a cookbook.
That's what I was going to say before you said that.
So,
that's funny.
So so the title of the book was translated, How to Serve Man.
I was going to say, you know, people have these kinds of experiences, but what about the experiences of people that you never heard of? I mean, people that just go disappearing, like in Alaska. I mean, how many people probably disappear in the islands you don't hear about? What happens? Like, could it be something terrifying that's going on?
Oh, hell yeah, man.
You think so?
You know, I think, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, when I was in Puerto Rico, I went to the mountains and stuff, and sometimes I saw some lights that came out of nowhere. And it's like, damn, someone could just take me right now, you know? Either human or humanoid, you know? So I don't know, man. It's crazy. You know?
It is crazy.
I can see some,
I know,
crazy. Missing people, right? Huh? Missing people throughout the world, right?
Exactly, especially Alaska.
So I guess there's, I guess as you say, are they good? Are they bad? Well, they're listening to the show now, so I'll say they're good. Hey, guys, you guys are good.
I want to share one story, too, though, man. Going back to the gargoyles, right? One of the reasons one of the reasons why I kind of believe this weird story, which, of course, sounds fake, right, but... I have a lot, of course, right? I have a lot of family in Puerto Rico. I spend a lot of time out there when I can, pre-COVID. And one of my aunts, you know, she's a very educated person, successful. Husband's very successful. You know, they live a very nice life, retired. They own, like, half a mountain with a beautiful house in Hidalgo Piedras, right? And my aunt, who's not into anything like that, right, she's just... regular person, whatever, right? Educated woman. She swears that middle of the night she got up, she heard something, she went outside to look, and she said she saw something that was huge, like a person, and just had wings, got up, and just flew away.
And wait, like she has the wings again.
Exactly. And you know, it's a far-fetched story, man. It's something that's really hard to believe and understand and to accept. But this is someone personally that I know, right? She's not a drug user. She's not someone that drinks. You know, she's like a sound person that's educated, husband educated, right? Not into games. Just normal people that were very successful in life. And she had that kind of experience out there. So it makes you believe that there's actually, for me, it's credible. She's credible. And it makes you believe there's something out there we just don't understand, that there really is something that's spooking people out there.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, there was a story also, a creepy story in the Twilight Zone, that there was an old lady out in the woods. She was all by herself, and she started cooking food, right? And something crashed in her roof, right? So before she can go up to find out what it was, she saw that these little creatures walking around and zapping her with these guns, like, and they were giving her, like, warts and shit, and she was screaming, and she was being attacked by these little creatures, you know? So finally, she captures one of them, kills it, took an axe, and went to the roof. And it was a huge flying saucer, right? Right? So she starts chopping at the flying saucer with the axe, right? It was a small flying saucer. All of a sudden, you hear, "This is Commander Rally. We have landed in Mars. But we have discovered a giant creature destroying our ship." And she's like, so we were the aliens. You get it?
Well, we are, cool. Yeah. If we go to Mars, how much is it? No yeah. Call is called in. Like, is the show almost over? Let's see. Yeah, 50. It says 59.
Wait, hold on. Let me check the studio. Yeah. Last time I checked. Hold on, check it. Maybe we're the speaking humanoids, right? Who knows? Guys, we got 10 seconds left.
I knew
it. Oh, caught up in Twilight Zone.
So, guys, you got any last-minute comments? This is part one. We're going to go into it, you know? Any last-minute comments?
No, I just know that anyone listening out there, go to my Spooky Loop page on Facebook. Me and Creepy Steph are going to do more research for you guys. And then Lou, you know, we'll get together and make this happen. Well, how about you, Stephanie Sky?
No additional commentary yet. If, you know, the extraterrestrials are listening, y'all can wave to me from the window, and that's about it.
Well, you know what? I want to, you know, let's continue our research. Let's see if we can do a weekly show on this, you know, on the star people.
Oh, man, Gregorio Tupelo better watch out.
Who?
Who?
Gregorio Tupelo. He's an ancient alien theorist.
Oh,
by the time we're done with this segment, we're going to, yeah, exactly.
you know what's crazy?
By the time we're done with this segment, we're going to be coming for his job.
I don't know. You know what's crazy? I'm really not crazy about that show. People love it. I have never really, liked that show. I think they're kind of far-fetched with the stuff they come out with.
They have a lot of far-fetched stuff. A lot of
right?
It.
Like, I'm just like,
yeah.
Whatever.
Well, they always say, like, you know, the aliens are the ones that gave the technology. Well, like, the natives couldn't do it themselves, you know? Like they discredit like the Mayan and you know the technological advances
mm-hmm.
that the Mayans create. It's like they take the credit away, you know. So
yeah,
it's like come on, man.
Well, considering that we are saying that there may be relatives between the aliens and you know our indigenous people, are they taking the credit away? Or was it just one of their ancestors? Ha! Think piece right there.
That's true, right? So this is what we're going to do. We're going to do some research, okay? Next week, we're going to do some research. Hopefully, we're going to have a third encounter, see what happens. We can share it here in the show. What do you think? Well, I'll take a pass on that one. All right, guys. Thank you for coming.
Definitely.
This is Guasalada Radio, Taino Radio. It's all about destroying ignorance, destroying arrogance. This is the information we're sharing. If you're interested, please write at tainosagrado@gmail.com. Give me your comments, like always. I'd like to thank Scoopy Lou. That's right. And Stephanie Sky sharing their experiences. We're going to come back with part two. We're going to really get into this, okay? Because there's too many questions. We got to get some answers, you know? So in the meantime, let's enjoy the theme song. See you soon.